translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. By hearing these topics from the sage, Narada, the son of King Upita Dhruva, was enlightened regarding the personality of Godhead. And he ascended to the abode of the Lord, placing his feet over the head of death. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. While quitting his body, Maharaj Dhruva, the son of King Upita, was attended by personalities like Sundaya and others, who received him in the kingdom of God. He left this world at an early age, as a young boy. Although he attained the throne of his father and had several children of his own. Because he was due to quit this world, death was waiting for him. He did not care for death. However, and even with his present body, he boarded a spiritual aeroplane and went directly to the planet of Vishnu. Because of his association with great sage Narada, who had spoken to him the narrative of the pastimes of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's an interesting verse when you're talking about a pregnancy, and one of the first verses is death, isn't it? It's interesting when you look at statistics, is that birth always increases at the point of lots of deaths. It's an interesting phenomenon. But that's not what we're here for. When I was actually reading this, it has so many different layers. Last time I came here, I gave Bhagavad Gita class. I got hung up on one word. And while I was reading this, I was thinking there's many words that I could get hung up on. But then I thought, what I'll do is I'll really sort of go to town learning about Maharaj Dhruva. But also there was one purport that I read whilst doing a night shift. And it's a purport that has defined what I do within healthcare, but also one that for many months perplexed me. So Dhruva Maharaj, extraordinary soul, wasn't he? From a very young age, he wanted to sit on his father's lap. He was told no. You know, that's a very hard thing for a young child, isn't it? Because a young child wants to be close to the father. So he goes and gets advice, isn't it? So this is Siksha Guru, isn't it? He's going for advice. So he, what does he do? He goes to the best person that can give him the best advice. We can get many advices, can't we? But we can't always get the best advice. Not only did he get the advice, but then he followed the advice. And this is an example that we can all follow, isn't it? Yeah. Because if we come into Krishna consciousness, it's actually generally Siksha Gurus that we'll come across first, isn't it? The wise counsel of the book distributor, the temple president, you know, so the young enthusiastic devotees that you meet, they become your Siksha Gurus, don't they? By following the advice, he finally met his Diksha Guru. And there was a negotiation because, you know, Maharaj Dhruva, he had a certain agenda, and he was like, I'm going to follow that agenda, wasn't it? And when you think about it, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have an agenda, don't we? We have some desire that we haven't got fulfilled, so we're looking at getting it fulfilled. So anyway, after the negotiation, okay, this is what you have to do. So he had a huge tapasya to do. When I sat there thinking about it, thinking, you know, well, all we have to do in the age of Kali is chant Hare Krishna, and we find that very difficult, isn't it? Something that's so simple, but Dhruva Maharaj, what he had to actually do at the age of 5, and I was thinking, how many 5-year-olds can actually do what Dhruva Maharaj did? This is an exemplary soul. So, but when he gets offered the benediction, What did he want? He wanted a kingdom. He wanted name, fame, glory. I want to be more prominent than my father. I want to have more so that everybody can look at me. Yeah? And we look in society, and this is what society is after, isn't it? We want more. We want to be famous, you know. So I want to win the latest game show, or, you know, so be talked about on social media. You know, we want to be prominent. But as soon as he saw the Lord, this is the amazing thing, isn't it, is that all his needs were met. So when he was offered benediction, he didn't want what he'd gone for. He just wanted devotional service. My needs have been filled. When we come to the temple, our needs are filled, aren't they? Yeah? We don't need anything more. You know, we don't need name, we don't need fame, we don't need... You know, so we get very used to just having very basic stuff as long as I've got Srimad Bhagavatam. When I was talking to a very dear friend of mine, and he was sort of saying, you know, sort of that all he needed was Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's books. And we got talking, and he said, and if I got to live my life again, as long as I had Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's books, I'd do it all over again. I sat there, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Very humbling, you know, so. And when we were talking, he could have been very wealthy, very rich, very famous. But he didn't want any of that. He just wanted the devotees, and he wanted Srila Prabhupada. But I started thinking, we can't really replicate Dhruva Maharaj, because when you look at it, I couldn't do what he did at the age of 5. What was I doing? Probably not a lot. Yeah. Even today, you know, so we say 4 regulative principles. For a lot of people, 4 regulative principles are very difficult. When I go and present Krishna consciousness, I don't mention 4 regulative principles because it generally puts people off. But I do talk about the 4 protections that we do. No meat eating, no gambling. But I actually give them a reason why, you know, we do that. Because we like to be protected, but we don't want to be regulated. So it's a small adjustment. But when I first read this, it reminded me of a cold winter's night at the Alexandra Hospital. Progressive care unit, 2 a.m. in the morning. Persons that we're looking after are asleep, and we've just got monitors. So, and they were where they were meant to be. And I read this in Canto 4, Chapter 12, Text 33. Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. And it was Srila Prabhupada's purport, and it's more his closing comments that stumped me. So I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to explain how I progressed and how I got to understand this and how it's actually changed my approach, and actually how it changes our approach, but also when it comes to book distribution, how important book distribution is, especially in the book marathon period. This incident proves that Siksha or Diksha Guru, who has a disciple who strongly executes devotional service like Dhruva Maharaj, can be carried by the disciple even though the instructor is not as advanced. Although Suniti was an instructor to Dhruva Maharaj, she could not go to the forest because she was a woman, nor could she execute austerities or penances as Dhruva Maharaj did. Still, Dhruva Maharaj was able to take his mother with him. Similarly, Prabh Maharaj was delivered his atheistic father, Hirangeshipu. This conclusion is that a disciple or an offspring who is very strong devotee can carry with him to Vaikunthar over even his father, mother, or Siksha or Diksha guru. Sri Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Kokore used to say, if I can perfectly deliver even one soul back home, back to Godhead, I would think my mission programming Krishna consciousness to be successful. Yay, Jai. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading now all over the world. And sometimes I think that even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha Loka. Srila Prabhupada, the saviour of the world, the one who brought Krishna consciousness to the West through his books, we're all sat here. We're having a static kirtan in the morning. We get to eat prasadam. We have these books that are amazingly translated. Srila Prabhupada describes himself as crippled in many ways because of his elderly body. Yeah. So I'm sort of mid-50s and I've got aches and pains where I didn't think I could have aches and pains. And then one of my colleagues who was in their 70s went, well, you've got a bit of way to go. Yeah. I was sat talking to Prabhupada's disciple and he's in his 70s. And again, he was explaining the difficulties that he now has, you know, so with the material body. And his appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, because he said Prabhupada was my age and was doing so many things, and I'm at home, not able to do much. But it was this continuance. If one of my disciples become as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, did he want them to be exactly as Dhruva Maharaj? He's already given us what he was looking for. Devotion. And when we look at Srila Prabhupada in his final days, what did we notice? That the devotees were by his side. And what were they doing? Singing, chanting, engaging Srila Prabhupada in talking about Krishna. Every single second was precious to the disciples. Every single second that Srila Prabhupada was leaving his body, he was meditating on Krishna. Right? There's no Diksha Guru. His Diksha Guru wasn't there. But he had lots of Siksha Gurus. He'd made Siksha Gurus, the devotees. The power of devotee association at that point means that Prabhupada didn't actually take death. He moved, his spirit soul went from that particular material body straight into the material world. He returned back to his constitutional position. He didn't experience death because when his body expired, he was already in the spiritual world. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was boarding the plane, who did he ask about? His mother, yeah. What was the reply? She's already in another aeroplane, yeah? Yeah. Because of Dhruva Maharaj being a devotee, and throughout his reign, he always sought advice. Okay? And we have a great a way of getting advice, haven't we? Whatever we face, we can just pick up one of these. Yeah? There's nothing that I've come across that isn't covered in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you want to, it's like I have medical textbooks at home, and if I want to know about a certain disease, I can look it up. It'll tell me this is how the disease presents, this is how you treat it, this is what the outcome should be. In the material world, we've got so many different things that attack us. We just need to get that, even Bhagavad Gita, you know, so at work. When we're in work, you know, do we just chant sometimes? We can do japa, can't we? Yeah. But it's that important thing, isn't it? That at the point of us leaving our body, it's very difficult. Okay. Most people will shout out, they will scream. We've managed to solve that because what we do is you drug them. But the thing is we've drugged the material body, but we haven't drugged the spirit soul. So the spirit still is still screaming and is still getting dragged out of that body. It doesn't want to leave, even though the body is useless. And then it's forced into another body to repeat. Again and again. And we're not guaranteed a human form of body. Yeah, dog, hog, cat, mouse. Yeah. Dragged. So what's going to be the saviour? What's going to save us? The devotees. We see it, don't we, that as the devotees are getting older, the bodies are getting frailer. It's becoming more and more difficult, isn't it, to do service, but we do a little bit of service. But do we make sure that they still go and get devotee association? Do we still bring them to the temple? Do we still bring them to Radhika Kulananda? Yeah. At the point of them leaving the body, have we got kirtan going? In the nectar of devotion, it's on the further consideration of devotee principles. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement describing how the Vaishnava should decorate his body with tilak and beads. Persons who put tulsi beads on their neck, who marks 12 places of the body, is Vishnu temple, with Vishnu symbols representing the four items held by the four hands of Lord Vishnu, conscious mace, disc, and lotus, and who have Vishnu tilak on their foreheads, and to the understanding of the devotees of Lord Vishnu in this world, their presence makes the world purified, and everywhere they remain, that may make that place as good as Vaikuntha. A similar statement is in Nisakta Purana, which says persons who are decorated with Tilak or Gopi Chandra and who mark their bodies all over with the holy names of the Lord and on whose necks and breasts there is Tulsi beads are never approached by the Yamadutas. The Yamadutas are the constables of King Yama, who punishes all sinful men. Vaishnavas are never called for by such constables as Yamaraj. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the narration of Admiral Deliverance, it is said that Yamaraj gave clear instruction to his assistants not to approach the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are beyond the jurisdiction of Yamaraj activities. The Padma Purana also mentions a person whose body is decorated with a pulp of sandalwood, with paintings of the holy name of the Lord, is delivered from the sinful reactions, and after his death, he goes directly to Vaikuntha to live in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we go into devotees, especially in hospital, we might find that they might have removed the Tulsi beads because we've got to put a central line in. Do we then make sure as devotees that they have some Tulsi on them? Do we make sure that they're marked? It's a very subtle thing, isn't it? But as we know, that the agents of death then can't take them. They will return back home, back to Godhead. Do we make sure that there's some sandalwood on? Do we make sure that they're listening to class? Do we make sure there's curtain going? And if they're able to eat, are we making sure that the prasadam's coming into the hospital or into the home that they're in? Are we making sure that these basic things are done? This is the mercy of the devotee, this is the mercy of the Siksha Gurus, is that we're administering not only from day one, when they see the book, they might not take the book, they see the book, as we're distributing it, that's a very nice book, I like the picture. What have we done? We've guaranteed them that the next life will be a human form of life. They might not have taken the book. They've appreciated it. That's the power of book distribution. Yeah? They might take the book. They might read a little bit. It's not really for me. But they've read and they've appreciated. But they've had your association as well. Are we looking at them as potential devotees or just, I need to get good book scores this month because it's book marathon? Yeah. The power of the book. They might read the book, they might come to the temple. What do they do when we come to the temple? We're encouraging, isn't it? I went to, it's actually a small preaching centre that I went to. What did they do? Kirtan, Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Eventually they realized I didn't have a Bhagavad Gita, so they got me a Bhagavad Gita. Got me reading it. While they're getting me reading it, what they're doing? What you're finding? How are you finding it? What you're learning? Yeah. So it's from day one, we're looking after the devotee, the potential devotee. Then they start making progress in devotional service. What are we doing? We're encouraging them to read the books. We're encouraging them to do kirtan. We're encouraging them to do japa. Why are we encouraging them to do japa? How am I supposed to remember Krishna's name if I haven't been practicing? Jai Shri Shri Radhika Kulananda Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Gauranitai. Yeah? So we're learning all the time. Yeah? So we're taking them from stage one through to their point of leaving the body. And if we're engaging them in Krishna consciousness, then they don't take death. Their spirit soul is taken directly to the spiritual world and they immediately take up their constitutional position. And in a spiritual world, it's like they've been away for seconds, whereas it might have been many, many lifetimes for that in spirit soul. In a spiritual world, it's just a few seconds. That's the power of devotee association. That's the power of book distribution. That's the power of engaging people to read, to chant. They see the Harinam party, and we've seen it many times, they just join in. Yeah, I love it because you've got the Hare Krishna festival and they put little clips on YouTube and it's really nice to watch the devotees and how many people just join in, just spontaneously make that connection because they hear the name of Krishna and immediately the spirit soul is raised, isn't it? Raised, he said, yes, you know, so, isn't it? At that moment, we're such a gurus to them, we've connected their spirit soul back to Krishna for them few moments and they've started the spiritual life. You might not see the results, it might be next lifetime we see the results, but they've started. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? So when I read this, I sort of thought to myself, you know, Prabhupada gave us the example. He had many difficulties. He even had difficulty trying to even get the Bhagavad Gita printed. And that was an amazing pastime in itself. He had difficulty making devotees. But what did he do? He went to where the lazies and the crazies of society were and he made them devotees. Yeah? So they were no longer lazy and crazy because they were full of knowledge. And why were they considered lazy and crazy? Because they disengaged from society because society was not meeting their needs. And Prabhupada said, here, this will meet your needs. The Srila Prabhupada's disciple, as he said with a tear in his eyes, for Prabhupada, I would do it all over again. For my Maharaj, I'll do it all over again. Just to have the association of the devotees, to be able to glance upon Sri Sri Radhika Kulananda, and to be able to share this wonderful transcendental knowledge with the world. And as when people leave their bodies, to be by their side, to make sure that they're hearing the wonderful names of Krishna, so that they never have to take birth again. And the subtle body is not ripped from the material body, but with glee goes straight back to the spiritual world. Dhruva Maharaj did not feel any pain. At the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the curse was given, he didn't feel any pain. He just left. No pain. For the devotees, at the point of leaving the body, no pain because the spirit soul is just transported directly to the spiritual world. So we're going to go out there during the book marathon and we're going to look at all these potential devotees. If they appreciate the Harinam, if they appreciate the book, they've already made progress. And even if they make fun of the devotees, they made progress because they've said the word Krishna. Always remember that. So I hope that that's my thoughts actually on this particular purport. I hope it's been encouraging and thought-provoking for you all. So, Schoenberg of Vatanaki, any thoughts, questions? Corrections? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. Just a comment. You mentioned about, you know, little things like having tilak or having tulsi. I know a devotee, I think it was one of his relatives, left the planet, and he was like stuffing tulsi leaf in the ear and etc., etc. And that evening, Yamaduras came to him in a dream, and they were very angry. Like, what are you doing? You think you're going to save this person? Just that. It's interesting. I guess he replied yes. I'm not sure what his reply was. But they were angry. They were angry that he'd done that.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you've got the whole pastime, haven't you, with the Yamadutas, and they weren't particularly impressed, were they? You know, so, hang on, we've got a job to do. And, you know, sort of... by this small act of devotion, we've, you know, so, and the parameters were set, weren't they? You know, so the parameters were set. So, yeah. So what was the outcome?
I'll have to ask him. That's all he told me. So.
I take it he continued with the tulsi and the...
Well, it happened in the evening when he went to sleep that night.
Right.
As far as I know, so, yeah. Another quick one. For you, okay. You mentioned two things in particular of importance. One is caring for devotees, the other one is distributing the mercy. Yep. Sometimes there's not enough hours in a day, and devotees have a dilemma. They're like, how much time should I spend caring for devotees, and how much time should I spend trying to spread Krishna consciousness? And it also becomes a financial question. It's like,
yeah.
Donation, should this donation go to look after devotees? Maybe it should go to just to sponsor books, so meet new people, and as devotees we should just be soldiers and die on the battlefield and we don't look after ourselves. So what's your thoughts on that?
My Guru Maharaj always reminds me that the highest welfare work is devotional service. He said the devotees are the highest welfare workers. I've never come across a situation where I've questioned that. Whether we're just doing Sankirtan, Harinam, whether we're doing book distribution, whether we're caring directly for people, you know, sort of, it's what is within your nature. For years, I actually asked my Guru Maharaj if I could move into the temple, and he was forever saying no. He said, because you work within health, you're far better to continue to work in health, because then you can look after the material body and the spirit soul. Luckily, I also earn a livelihood doing that. And it's also given me opportunity, especially when I've been doing nights, when it gets quiet, I actually had the opportunity then to read. So I've been very fortunate, but I think it's fortunate because of the mercy of the Guru. So my answer would be is that as long as you're following the direction of either your Siksha Guru, if you're new to Krishna consciousness, or your Guru Maharaj, as long as you're following their instruction, then you're on good ground. And, you know, so you have a duty to look after your wife and children, so you know the aim there is needs to make them liberate them through Krishna consciousness. And we see, don't we, that liberation is because of your purity in executing Krishna consciousness, and also by giving them that example. Does that answer?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for your class, and thank you also for all the services you do outside. You know, caregiving is really difficult. And it kind of leads to my question that if you could maybe speak a little bit about to what extent a devotee should go out of their nature to care for other Vaishnavas, both if they're put in a position where they need to because it's a family member, or it could be a senior devotee in the ashram. versus even voluntary as well, whether it's something that might be good for us, if that makes sense.
So, am I correct in sort of, so the nature isn't as one as a caregiver? I would say actually that everybody in their own way has the ability to be a caregiver. I've not come across anybody that's so hard-hearted that they don't have that compassion. What I would say is that we focus on the fact that we're looking after the spirit soul. And sometimes if we aren't able to be directly there or we find it very difficult, I know a lot of people find end of life can be very, very difficult. Even some of my colleagues find they can't cope with that. They will withdraw from that particular area. You know, so even as caregivers, we have our limitations as to what we can do. But then we can do supportive stuff there, isn't it? So we can actually support, you know, sort of the devotees that are doing that service. Either just invite, even simple thing as inviting them around for some prasadam, you know, some prasadam and some association. You know, that's actually helping as well because it's giving them that little time away to recoup and get back. So, so we can do that, or we can actually just, you know, sort of if there is a financial difficulty and we have finances, we can help that way. So there is many ways within Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness has so many services that you can do. That whatever your nature is, there is a service for you to do. And within that service, the whole community is being looked after. So even like, you know, if we look at Bhaktivedanta Manor, you know, you've got devotees that do maintenance. We've got devotees that look after the cows. We've got devotees that do the garlands. We've got devotees that do the meet and greet. We've got devotees that will go out and do Sankirtan. We've got devotees that go out and do Harinam. But we have devotees that will do all the legal paperwork. But without all of these devotees doing all these different services, then we wouldn't have Bhaktivedanta Manor. So when it comes to caregiving, yeah, you might not want to do, you know, so because I spend a lot of time dealing with bodily fluids. And I know for a lot of people, dealing with bodily fluids is not really, you know, their thing. But we've always got that supportive mechanism. So it's about finding what your propensity is, and then how you fit into the wider community, because we've all got something to bring in Krishna consciousness. We've got so many services that we can do within Krishna consciousness. And each one of them builds the community. You know, so you could be doing a service that the caregiver at the bedside can't do. But if you weren't doing that, then they would have to leave. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay. Shrim Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Oh, sorry, was there another question? Sorry. Sorry, Prabhu. Are you sure? Okay, all right, yeah. We'll sit and have some prasadam together and you can ask.